Jesus, I'm breaking off every lie that I once believed. The one who lives in me, Father, help us to exercise your authority that you've invested in us. We repent to God for our lack of luster. We repent to God before you for not exercising the authority you've invested in us, not in believing in you, your word. We ask, O God, for forgiveness. And we ask, O God, that you help us through the help of the Holy Spirit to step, O God, into the place of authority that you've given to us. And that, Lord, O God, that we exercise it forcefully, that the captives be set free. And Lord, O God, that your people walk in the divine freedom that you've ordained, that your word comes alive in us. So, Lord, O God, that our testimony is a testimony of victory, not of victimhood. Lord, we thank you that your word is alive and that you are helping us daily, that you are granting to us grace to walk the way we ought. All of this we thank you, Lord, for we receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for everyone that is here today for this time of study through the book of Proverbs. We are in the 16th chapter. I believe we stopped in the 10th verse where we talked about a divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. And part of what we talked about was this is a very true statement, but also it is a statement that we cannot just let lay down, that we have to declare it by faith, that those that we deal with, those that are in authority, that they will speak concerning our situation the way that God will speak in our situation. That is from a position of mercy, a position of grace, a position of understanding, knowledge, and wisdom, so that the freedom that God has ordained for us, that we walk in that freedom. Then we talked about in verse 11, about a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. Again, we emphasize the fact that yes, in this natural world, there are scammers, there are people who play tricks. They tell you one thing and it's something else. It's getting worse and worse. There are people who are selling snake oil, but using the faces of celebrities through AI, the voice of celebrities through AI, and making whatever it is that they're selling to look authentic, but it's not so. So what do we do with this verse? What is God saying to us about this? He's saying to us that for us as believers, we've got to understand that yes, the weights of the world may be all scaled in different formats and different ways, but for us as believers, we need to proclaim that the weight and the balance are the Lord's. We need to proclaim that the weights of the bag are His work. And what are we saying by that? We are saying, I am not going to be scammed. I am not going to be deceived. I am not going to be tricked. The Lord will make certain that whoever it is that is dealing with me will deal with me with a just weight in fairness and in truth. Amen? This is what we must do, you know, at all times. God, I am blessed by you. My steps are ordered by you. Yes, I'm the one moving my legs, but my steps are going to fall in the right place. Things are going to fall in the right place for me. I am not going to be deceived today. I'm not going to be tricked today. Nobody's going to come and hurt me today because, Father, you are my good shepherd. I shall lack nothing. Amen? So it's a proclamation. God is saying, this is true. There is the just weight. There is the weight of the bag. It is my work. So line up with that. Declare that. Amen? Can we do that right now? And we'll send that word not only for now, but ahead of us, so that if there's a day that we forget to see this, that word is already fighting for us. Father, we declare this day in the mighty name of Jesus that all weights and all balances, Father, are in our favor according to your declaration, according to your word. We thank you, Lord, O God, that the sentence, the words that come off the lips of the king are not words that transgress, but Lord, O God, they will align with your will for our lives, for we shall receive the judgment of mercy. O God, we shall receive the judgment of peace. We shall receive the judgment, O God, of righteousness that establishes us in our going out and in our coming in. So, Father, this day we declare by the authority of your word that anything contrary to who you are and how you see us and what you want for us, that those things, O God, be banned, banished, crushed, destroyed. So, Lord, O God, that the lawful captive is set free. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, O God, that we will not now or ever be lawful captives of the enemy. We stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is our declaration. We say it so. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Now, verse 12 goes on and says, it is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness. It's an abomination to kings to commit wickedness. Wow. It is an abomination to. Notice what word it did not use. It did not say for. It says to. In essence, the one who wants to contravene and go against the word of God for my life receives judgment. Amen? It's an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. The throne is established by God, and therefore any king who wants to do contrary, wickedness will stab them. This is a particular verse, I believe, that we have not fully applied when it comes to leadership, governmental leadership. that leaders that are planning evil receive swift judgment. You know, the Bible tells us about Herod, you know, giving a wonderful speech, and people said hailing him, and he took on the pride of that particular moment, and right in front of everybody, he was eaten up by worms. When there is an immediate response, because we understand that abomination goes to the king who commits wickedness. And kings here is not just that king in the government. It could be any king. It could be basically, let's put it, a person of authority that is doing the wrong thing, that there is swift judgment to address it. Now, let's not misplace this, but God is very, very direct. When David messed up, he experienced the death. It didn't matter what fasting he was doing and whatever else, you know. When Moses messed up and did wickedly, there it was. Are we together? We ask God for mercy, but his throne is established by righteousness. The right and authority of God is established by righteousness. And that seems to be a missing ingredient in the mindset and attitude that's displayed, even in the church. There are people that are doing wickedly, and it seems like they're getting away from it. And the reason they're getting away from it is because we have not held on to what the Word of God is saying. It's an abomination to kings. It's not the people that are supposed to be affected negatively because of their action. They sowed it. They reap it. Hello? Yeah, so many, he said, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. We are not aware of what God has put in the Word for us to govern the affairs of men. And so rather than declaring what the Word of God says, we hate, we curse at, it would not be good for you, you wicked king, you wicked prime minister, you wicked president, you deserve this, blah, blah. God says, why are you wasting the time? Just declare what my word says. It is an abomination to kings. Let the abomination that they have committed in wickedness to try to entrap and destroy the people, let them reap that harvest so that they know that the throne of God, the place of leadership that God has assigned to them, is one that is established in righteousness, and they must seek righteous solutions and help and assistance that which will profit the people. The Bible says sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness establishes the nation. That's the word of God. Righteousness establishes a nation, but sin is a reproach. And we need to, as we pray for leaders, while we ask for mercy, we also must understand that there are some people that need a firm hand so that they properly change. Amen. For the well-being of God's people. Then it says, righteous lips are the delight of kings. righteous lips are the delight of kings. Well, this is another statement that God is saying. But we also know in the natural, carnal man does not align with that. So what are you saying? Righteous lips are the delight of kings. Not every king wants you to tell them the truth. They want you to tell them whatever truth they want to believe. And, you know, yeah, you're doing good. You know, this is what got Rehoboam into trouble. He did not delight in righteous lips that told him, listen, you need to handle things better. He chose to believe his friends that were not speaking righteousness to him. And the net result is that the kingdom got split. There was disaster. So we need to pray. When we pray for leaders, we need to pray, Lord, let our leaders delight in righteous lips. Let them delight in hearing what the truth is. Whether that king is a king of a nation or a king of a business or a king, you know, in terms of leadership in a church or whatever. The word king here is in reference in top leadership, person who is in authority, who is in charge of a particular realm. He says, and they love him that speaketh right. Is that always the case? No, how dare you tell me the truth? How dare you say such and such and such and such? And they hate the person who told them the right thing. But God's word is saying to us, if you notice the last three verses, is God telling us what should be, but when you look in the natural, it doesn't line up. So he's saying to us, this is what you should say. Forget about what man does. This is what you say. They love him that speaketh right. Lord, the leadership, the mayor, council members, members of parliament, members of the legislative assembly, people in Congress, people in the Senate, whatever. Lord, they want to hear the truth and they want to do the right thing. They love people that will speak to them and say, I think you're wrong here. I think you should do such and such. This is the right way to handle this. Nobody is so wise a leader that they do not need advisors. Wise kings have advisors, people that come alongside and scope things and say, based on what I see, this is what I suggest. And wisdom of the king, when he recognizes that his throne is established in righteousness, causes him to go in the path that is right. To do the right thing. To do the right thing. They love him that speaketh right. So our prayer is that when we speak, that we speak the right thing to power. And that it be received when we speak the right thing. Not our own personal agenda, but we want to speak from a heart of righteousness, the truth of God. Speaking truth to power. Too many times we compromise. Say, well, I guess that's the way it's supposed to be. Well, if it's not right, it's not the way it's supposed to be. And we should be able to speak up and say the right thing. You know, I remember, I guess it's, must be 30 years now, most likely, when I was in my office And the Lord said to me, he says, today I want to address the nation. I said, you want to address the nation? Who is doing it? And where? He said, I'm going to address the nation from here. I said, this church. Is somebody coming here that I don't know about? He said, no. I said, so who's going to be addressing the nation? He said, you. I'm going to be addressing the nation. How? What am I going to be talking to the nation about? So I came and I sat down, not knowing what to say. Had no idea. And as soon as I got in front of the podium and opened my mouth, boom, there it was. The message we called the gold standard or God standard. And in that message, I addressed all kinds of issues. And there were issues that the government of the day didn't want us to talk about. They didn't want us to talk about those things. You know, and yeah, I was dealing with all kinds of issues. I thought I was just dealing with that, then I started dealing with the church, started talking about church. That's when I got the revelation right there about, I made a statement, I said, the church has no right to deal with the issue of immorality, homosexuality, lesbians, and whatever else, if it has not dealt with the issue of fornication and adultery in its midst. And God began to show to me, the Lord, he said to me, if Mr. A, just to illustrate, Mr. A is sexually involved with Mrs. B, and Mrs. B has had sexual relationships with Mr. C or whatever, that when Mr. A is mating with Miss B, she's not just meeting with Miss B, but meeting with Mr. C that Miss B mated with. I said, huh? He said, because they are one. You become one with the one. And said, talking to me about soul ties. And I said, God, where are you going with this? I'm hearing this for the first time by the leading of the Holy Spirit. He says, this is where, if this continues, there comes a time where there's confusion, where people don't know whether they're male or female anymore because of sexual immorality. So this was before we started hearing about transgender and all of this and the confusion. I'm confused. I don't know. I'm stuck. I'm a man stuck in a woman's body. Guess where? Go back. I'm finding spiritual connection. So I finished that, and dealing with all this stuff, and I said, okay, I'm done. And the Lord says, no, you're not done. I said, what do you mean I'm not done? He said, I need you to send all of the videos and the CDs to the members of parliament and members of the legislative assembly. I said, I don't have the money. So I didn't ask you for your money. I want you to send it. Huh? At that time, there was a guy who used to do our CDs for us. I went to him. He had a place in East Kildonan. He said, I can't do this for you. I said, where should I go? Who can do this? God is telling me to do this. So he points me to some place on, I think it was on Sargent or Ellis, close to the airport. So I go there, and they gladly accepted the project. They printed everything, the audio and the video. We still have some copies here. So I go to pay, and he said, don't need your money. I said, you're giving me all of this for free? Like 300, 400 copies of each? He said, yeah. So I brought it, and we started sending stuff off to members of parliament across the nation. I go back there in about 2 weeks to that same place, and the place does not exist. It does not exist. Can you imagine? This was where I was. Where is that company? There's no such company here. I said, but I saw the people, and they took my order, and they printed it. No. The only thing I did not do is I did not go back to the guy. You know, that's the only mistake I made. I should have gone back. Do you remember the place you sent me to? I'm sure what his answer, you were not here. So that's how we sent it out. And I remember telling my spiritual father about what I had done. He said, because I started out, I think the message started out with me attacking Freemasons. That's how it started. And so I told my spiritual dad about it. He said, you did what? I'm telling my spiritual father, the boldest man I know, and he's asking me, what did I do? My goose is cooked. What did I do? What did I just do? Well, it was from there that I sent the letter to Prime Minister, what's his name now? Martin. I sent a letter to him and to Layton, and and told him, I said, you repent, because this Liberal Party was the one that was putting everything together, you know, to stifle the church, and they're trying to do it again. I said to him in the letter, change your ways, or you're going to be fired twice in one day. And he's riding up in the polls. He calls an election, and at the same time, our mayor here, Andrew Murray, no, was it? Glenn Murray. Andrew Murray is a good guy. He's a great theologian. Glenn Murray was busy building the bridge over there, remember? And he had that totem pole. Now, this is God. This is so God. About that same time, we were starting Call to Victory. And we'd taken pictures to do the intro and the extra of Call to Victory. And one of the pictures was that bridge. Now, when you put that up, God spoke to me, said, it's time to fire him. Get rid of Glenn Murray from the position of mayor in this city. You remember when he came, we used to come here and we want to start praying about, cleaning that city. And God says, leave him alone, leave him alone. And now God says, get rid of him. I said, what did he do? What did he do? He said, you see that bridge and that post? I said, yes. You see, that guy. This is God saying this, okay? So don't get upset with me. You see, that guy, when he put that post up, was saying, F you, God. He said, get rid of him. I said, so I came here and we said bombarding, and Martin is calling the federal election. This guy steps down from being mayor in our city and goes to run in some riding down south with a quadriplegic, Stephen something. Stephen Fletcher, that's right. And, you know, he thinks he's going to beat this quadriplegic, but that's how he stepped out from being mayor and lost to Stephen Fletcher, and that was the end of Glenn Murray. He tried to come back again a few years ago, say, hey, remember, you were fired. He lost again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But this is the one, this is the part that is scary about all of that that I just told you. So we scrubbed the video and took that clip of that bridge out of it. And the Lord says to me, it is not clean. I said, what do you mean it's not clean? He said, the bridge is still in the video. So I talked to this guy, I think his name was Gaucher, David Gaucher or something. Yeah? At that time, he was working with It's a New Day. So I told him, I said, God says that that bridge is still in this video clip that you're giving to me. He said, I removed it. I said, but God is saying it is still in here. He said, okay, let me play it for you so you see. So he plays it, and I don't see the bridge. I said, God, you said the bridge was still in here. He said, it's in there. Tell him to play it slow. So he slowed down the movement of the pictures. And in like a nanosecond, the bridge was there. But when you're running it steady, you don't see the bridge. But now that he slowed the picture down, there is the bridge. I said, see, I told you, God said. He looked at me and said, what kind of a guy are you? With a naked eye, you can't see this. But God saw it, and that was what was important. And so that's how Mr. Martin got fired. And, you know, 2 weeks or 3 weeks to election, I believe I was out somewhere in some nation, Philippines or wherever, and he was still riding high up there. And a few weeks before, some scandal hit, and on the day of election, he loses to Harper. And with his own mouth, just like the declaration, you'll be fired twice in one day, with his own mouth, he resigned from being leader of the Liberal Party. So I said, see? Fired once by God and the people, and fired secondly with your own mouth. Don't dare God. You know, God stands with his sons and his daughters. And we have no reason to be afraid of anyone. Because we are not just men walking around. We are representatives of the kingdom of God. We represent something. Amen? And ultimately, we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He reigns over every one of us. And we need not be afraid of man, not now, not ever. Praise the Lord. Well, let me leave that alone. Verse 14. It says, the wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. So, the word of God is saying here that when a king gets angry, it is a message of death. He can take your head off. He can throw you in prison. But the qualifier is this, but a wise man will pacify it. Who is a wise man? A wise man is the one who hears the word of God and does what God's word says. So basically God is saying, when the king is angry, is upset, draw near to me and hear my wisdom. I'll show you and tell you what to do. Don't fold and think you're done. Get instruction, and the wisdom of God will pacify, will cause that king to back off. Okay? You deserve this, but I'm last warning. And you just slip through. God, when our ways please him, he causes even our enemies to be at peace with us. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, no matter how bad the situation is, there is a way out in God, that mercy can step in, and justice is tempered by mercy. That God will grant wisdom that will pacify the king and cause the king not to deal adversely with that particular individual. He says, in the light of the king's countenance is life. So this is what we want to say. Father, may I find favor in the sight of the king. In the light of the king's countenance is life. And his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. The latter rain is the rain that gives you the extra harvest. The latter rain. It's the turnaround rain. And God is saying, seek the light in the king's countenance. Father, let me find favor with kings, people in authority. Because understand, that the word of God says the heavens, even the heavens, they belong unto the Lord, but the earth has it given to the sons of men. Man can block you. Man can block you. In the earth realm, man can block you. But this is the amazing thing about God. While God does not interfere with individual wills, God can interfere with the will of kings. Because it says, like water in the hand. So God can come and turn the heart of a king around. But he does not do it with individuals. God will not come and force you against your will. But God can deal with an Ahasuerus who wants to see a Mordecai dead because of what Haman is planning, and begins to stay in him and cause him to be restless and directs him to open a book, and he reads about Mordecai. And the story changes. God can turn the hearts of kings around. And that gives us double boldness to be able to speak to kings in righteousness and in truth, recognizing that God can deal with kings, can deal with them directly. Say, I'm going to do this. Okay? But I have a king who is king over you. And we can call on that King of Kings, our God, to intervene. God deals with governments. They are called his ministers. Right? Yeah. They're called his ministers. So they need to operate according to the will of God. And when they are trying to operate outside the will of God, God's word says it becomes an abomination to that king, to them. And nothing corrects you quicker than when you're in pain. You want to cause somebody else pain and you're the one feeling it, you stop. God is the God who establishes and the God who demotes. Yeah. A king can be, it might seem, getting away with a lot of nonsense. It seems that he's like untouchable. We must not forget what God's word says. Because there comes a day there's this African adage about the monkey that went to the market but did not return. There's one day you push the wrong button and you find out, I think I messed up. God can get a man busy with trouble, that they will forget about the trouble they want to cause you. They'll be so busy with their issue, they forget about you. Because they are overwhelmed with their own issues. It is overwhelming. It's too much. Well, that's what God does when we let God be God. And when we understand that we can find favor. He says, in the light of the king's countenance is life. Father, let me find favor in the sight of kings. Let that favor be as a cloud of the latter rain. Let it bring blessings into my life, increase into my life, strength to me, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And let's just wrap up with verse 16. It says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? The pursuit of many is gold. I want this, I want this, I want that, I want this. More money. And God says, it's better for you to get wisdom. It's better for you to get wisdom. Wisdom opens doors that money might not be able to open. Relationships can get you, favor in relationship can get you further than money will. He says, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Get wisdom, get understanding. Ah. No, I want more money. Yeah, you can have more money, more gold, more silver, But without wisdom, without understanding, it will fly away. It will have wings. It will have wings. It will fly away. Wisdom, that grace to hear the word of God, listen to it, obey it, do it, establishes you. You may not be the talk of town, but you will be solid. When storms come, you will still be there. But if all you're doing is seeking the things of the world, then you find out that there is no rest, there's no peace, there's no victory, there's only waste and loss. Loss. So God tells us to invest in the kingdom of God, where moth and rust do not corrupt. It takes wisdom to do that, to invest in God's divine purpose. I've learned, and I'm still growing in that learning, that's the way to go. Now, wisdom and understanding. Wisdom will cause you to act properly. Understanding will cause you to be established in knowing why you are doing what you are doing. I understand that I need to do this for my good. We must let God speak to us. Because until God speaks to you, His word, you're not really wise. The word of God says, the fear or the reverence of God is the beginning. It's the beginning of wisdom. The reverence of God, you honoring God, is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts. And it's better to get that wisdom, to have that reverence for God. You see, Solomon had just honored God with a big, big sacrificial gift given. And God immediately speaks to Solomon and says to Solomon, what do you want? What do you want me to give to you? Solomon says, I need wisdom to lead your people. And the response of God is, wow, you didn't ask for gold. You asked for wisdom. You asked the right thing. But what is wisdom as a defense without gold as a defense? So I'm going to give you both. When God says it is better to get wisdom than gold, it's not saying that it is not good to get gold. It's only saying it is better to get wisdom. Just like if you can put it this way, wisdom is the horse. Gold is the cart. Sure, you can ride with the horse by itself, but you cannot carry too much without the cart. And sure, you can load up the cart, but without the horse, it's going to be all manpower. So you need to hitch horse to cart. That's what God is saying. Hitch those two together, and things are going to be easier. God wants things to work out for every one of us. And my prayer is this, that we will daily choose wisdom and understanding and recognize that with it, just like God did with Solomon and gave him not only the wisdom, but also gave him the gold, that we will have both. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. God is not saying that other things that are going to be added are no good, but he's saying to us, seek first the kingdom of God. This is how you should be in alignment with my will being performed in your life. Put things in order. And order is crucial. And when we come under the order of God, we need to understand that wisdom is generated in our willingness to come and hear what God has to say. If you're not willing to hear what God has to say, you're not wise. Too many people are going, la, 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 la. They don't want to hear God. Because they think God is going to take from them. God is not taking anything from you. He wants you to be in covenant with him. And as long as we stay in covenant with him, things will percolate in proper order and we'll enjoy the goodness of God. Well, I obeyed God yesterday. Now, I think he's asking too much. Or I heard God yesterday, but I don't think that's God asking me for this now. Can't be God. God can't be asking for that and asking me for this. Listen, he's the one who said to us, if a man asks you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. Did he not say that? He asked for your shirt, give him your coat also. What do you think he's going to do? God may ask you for everything, but this is a guarantee that there's no way you're going to give God. If God is asking you for more, he has so much more on his mind for you. So just wisely follow him, recognizing that the devil cannot and will not want your success. And if you give in of yourself to God, it's an act of obedience to God, the devil is not going to encourage you to give yourself to God. He will want you to hold back because he knows that you give in yourself to God. He that gives is lending to God. The one who is taking care of the poor is lending to God. That's what the word of God says. So now God is for us to owe you. Think, how long is God going to owe you? He has so many ways to minister to you and help you and provide for you. So bottom line is just trust God. And as we trust him, his countenance, and let us look at that verse again. The countenance of a king. And remember that king is not just our earthly kings, is our heavenly king. in the light of the king's countenance, his life. I want God to smile, have a happy face when he sees me. I want his favor as a cloud of the latter rain to pour on my life. Not a cloud that is empty. Empty clouds, the Bible says. There are clouds that come and don't have rain. You know, lands that are in drought also have clouds, but there's no rain. There's no humidity in that cloud. The latter rain, the Bible says, when the cloud is full, it has to empty. And we need to have this latter rain because God is smiling over us. It's the latter rain of favor. You know, in this last of the last days, there are people that are going to die unnecessarily. Believers. Not necessarily because God wants them dead, but because they don't know the principles of God's word. And so they die, and God uses that anyway. But there are going to be people that are not killable because they know who they are and they know the principles of God's word, and they pull in on that, and the enemy cannot touch them. They know 1,000 will fall on this side and 10,000 on that side, but it shall not come nigh thee. Why? I am under the canopy, the shelter of God. I'm in this secret place of the Most High. There are people who are going to quote Psalm 91 and still perish. But there are people who quote Psalm 91 and nothing can stop them. We need to tap on the fullness of what God says and recognize the Lord shepherds me. I lack nothing. The Lord shepherds me. I lack nothing. The Lord shepherds me. I lack nothing. Okay, I can quote that 20 billion times. But the word of God also says, my sheep do what? Hear my voice. So when I say the Lord is my shepherd, I should not want, I'm also saying I am paying attention to what God has to say to me. It's not just quoting it. It's recognizing what that means. The Lord shepherding me means I hear his voice and I don't listen to other voices. Hello? So, I will not lack anything. But you are listening to CTV, NBC, ABC, Fox News, CNN, and what they have to say. And you're leading your life based on that. Well, I know what the Bible says, but. Okay? You find out what but means sooner or later. I'm not going to gross you out, so I'm not going to say much more than that. We need to pay attention. And if there's anything we need to do now, child of God, it is simply that. Pay attention. Obey God. Follow his dictates. That's where wisdom is. Understanding that will help you to continue. Understanding the benefits of that helps you to continue even when it seems like it's painful. You keep on pushing, because all pushing becomes progress. When you stop pushing, you stop progressing. And pushing means the use of that which you have available, the strength, the energy. So push. Somebody said, push means pray until something happens. So, do that. There's no loss in continuing. Hebrews 11 tells us about the saints of old who kept on. And even when they did not get what they were looking for, they kept on. Let's do the same. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word to us. Help us to continue to grow in the things of your spirit, to live fulfilled. Use our lives in a way, O God, that truly honors you. We turn our lives, O God, over to you. And we pray, O God, that the wisdom of your word be activated in every area of our lives, that Holy Spirit, that you bring to our remembrance the things that you've taught us, that we, O God, present in mind and in spirit, activate the levers of truth, the levers of victory that have been put before us. That the name of our Father be exalted at all times. In Jesus' mighty name, we say it is so done. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, thank you so very much for being part of our time of study tonight. Friday is our next time together. And of course, that will be primarily on Zoom. And Sunday is the first Sunday of the month. And therefore, next Sunday is going to be a family Sunday where we'll pray for the children and stuff like that. And the Lord was speaking to me about something the other day, and I wasn't too certain about when it was supposed to be, but I just got clarity on that now. The first Sunday is not just going to be for praying for the children. It's going to be a Sunday where we should do our utmost to invite and bring friends and family. And the word during those Sundays will be tailored by the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit to minister salvation and hope to those that need to hear God. And so it will be that kind of a time. We'll take note of that and start making certain that we get the saints to know what our focus will be on those Sundays. So the first Sunday, that's going to be when we pray for the children, and we'll pray for families, but we'll also pray and trust God for others that need to come into the knowledge of who Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord, is. Praise God. This time, let us honor God with our giving. And as we honor him, may his faithfulness be demonstrated in us and through us. Thank you, those who are watching on YouTube and Facebook. Good night. And turn my attention to those that are on Zoom. I have Sister Carol, you beat Brother John to it today. Well, bless you. Good to see you. And Brother Bill, bless you. Hallelujah. Shalom. Praise God. I have Brother John, there you are. Bless you. Amen. Trust that God is keeping you strong and whole, and you enjoy.